The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
We're glad you found us. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to create a life that's intentional and dynamic? Welcome to The Intentional Spirit with your host, Reverend Temple Hayes.
Well, welcome everyone, and I'm so glad you're here and your energetic presence. Always look forward to this. It's funny. I feel like often it's great to have great guests and to express intentional spirits, whether they are an author or a healer or a practitioner or whatever it may be. But, you know, the funny thing, the deeper part that I tell Jeff sometimes, you know, this show helps me maybe more than anybody else, because being intentional, I tell you, it's like this day and time, being a mystic, you know, living in the mystery of what you don't know. It's wonderful to sit and to learn and expand our awareness of what we know. And I also like living in what I don't know, because I think that's where some of my greatest learning and change has come from. And many months ago, we had a great guest on board, so much so that we got lots of feedback and there was so much to cover. She's such a wealth of information that everybody was like, gosh, we need to know more. We need to be aware more. And so we have heard you. So I wanted to welcome to our show today, Dr. Debbie Roche. And she represents the vibrant you, how to really be vibrant in your physical being, which brings forth the alignment of emotional, mental, and your spirit. Because our body is our soul's bicycle. Dr. Debbie, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Reverend Temple. It's an honor to be here.
And you can call me Temple. Okay, that just works for me. Yeah, Temple is the point. And especially today, since we're talking about the body temple, you know, it took me many years to make that assessment. I just thought, isn't that nice? I'm named after my grandfather, or I'm a building named Temple. But I had to really grow into the fact of, wow, what a way to be named as a soul, to name yourself, you know, temple, to be aware of your body temple, because I did not take care of my body for a long, long time. But now I do. And it's specialists like you that support my mission of, regardless of age, always being young. And I want to thank you personally for all the work you've done with me. And that's another reason my heart's so happy to have you today, is that your work has been is tried and true. It's been tested. It's transformed my life. And I want everybody else to have an opportunity to do so. When people say, gosh, you're that age and you're so young, how do you do it? Well, featuring the next 3 weeks on Unity of Online Radio, someone that knows how to get it done. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Temple. It means a lot to me to be here, and it has been an honor to watch your evolution and your process and how committed you are to really living a vibrant life. It has been an honor to watch that and to support you, truly.
It's like I tell people all the time, I can't believe people actually think you're born and you die one time. You're being birthed all the time. You're dying all the time, energetically speaking. And we aren't here to get old. Old is a decision. Age is part of life. But if you're not going to do it vibrant, to me, like, what's the point? You know, what's the point? But anyway, you take us on this journey, and I'll follow along. And I just want to reiterate, we're talking to Dr. Debbie Roche, and her website is vibrantyouwellness.com. That's vibrantyouwellness.com.
What I really would love to talk about today. Thank you so much, Temple. is the mind, body, spirit connection, and how that really comes into play when we're talking about our physical vitality, our emotional health, our mental clarity, and our connection to source. To me, the cells of our body always, to me, represented the universe and God and divinity. When I was very young, I was very close to an uncle of mine that did a lot of microscope work. And so when I saw the cells, and they were moving cells, what mesmerized me about the cell was about the energy and the light that I saw around the cell. And to me, that always represented the mysteries of the universe and God and the divine. And so from a very, very, very early age, I knew that I was meant to follow kind of this path when it came to science and cells and learning how to keep the body vibrant and healthy. It wasn't until later on in my life, after I had gone through all the academic routes and all of the schooling, that I was kind of led through my own health and healing journey to having it all come together. You know, I'm very lucky. I've been a part of First Unity for many, many years, 18 years now. And, it was sitting in the pews while you were speaking, Reverend Temple, that I really started to grow an even greater appreciation for my intuitive gift and how that really came into play in terms of walking through my own healing experiences. And, my great love of science, and I have such a great appreciation for science and research and the awesome, you know, science teachers that have come before me. Not enough is really given credit in terms of, you know, the intuitive gift when it comes to our own healing, and keeping ourselves vibrant and healthy. And so a lot of the work that I do is all about how do I help somebody flow divine and universal energy through the body and through the cells most effectively. And what I often see is that, you know, once we can remove the interferences that come from flowing that divine energy through us, that's when people can heal, really heal at the core level. And, you know, a lot of people think that healing, or maybe the majority, think that healing is just about the physical body. But when you take it to the very basic unit of the cell is about flowing that energy and of the divine through the cell to keep it functioning optimally. And so what I find with people, whether it be their nervous system or their brain imbalance or their cell imbalance or potentially their emotional imbalance or faulty beliefs, or, you know, what their mind might be in lockdown, whatever it might be, it is all about, and always will be, flowing the divine energy through us in order to take us to the next level of our healing and empowerment. I see a lot of people do that in my life and in my work, and I'm super grateful to be a part of that and to be a witness and also to be a teacher in many different realms, because it always, you know, alignment and stepping up into our highest and best selves, selves and also selves, is about choosing different actions, different thoughts, and different ways of being so that we truly can express the divine outward in the world, whether it be our service work in our sacred, you know, writings or teachings or whatever we might do, or in how we love the universe. And so so that's really the foundation of my work, and whether that be through the nutritional concepts that I apply or the brain and nervous system health principles that I teach or the wellness programs that I develop, or whether it be the intuitive readings and the intuitive work that often help people to remove their blocks so that they can take the action forward. I believe that all of what I do and all of what I help people do is really flow the divine through their consciousness, their heart, or their body, so that they really can step out into the world and serve. And I've watched you for so many years, Temple, and you've been such an inspiration to me in many of the areas of my work that I do. So I want to thank you for all the awesome work you do out there in the universe.
No, I greatly appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I would say back at you. You know, when I think about it, you know, as we share, Unity Online Radio is in countries all over the world. And there are people that tune into the radio show that are not necessarily in a community called Unity, but they're in the understanding of the theology of Unity. Is that they, you know, often we say in Unity, we're not a theology. Well, anytime you stand for what you believe, that's a theology. Like, I love the statement, my mind is my church and what I believe is my religion, because that's true. And so that being said, but if we look at specifically Unity and the Unity movement, what we know for sure is that, you know, the whole movement was started because of a physical issue, which is, you know, really interesting in that Myrtle had tuberculosis. And intuitively, that did not feel like what was going to take her life early, you know? And so she followed her own intuitive faculty to listen, to go different paths, to hear different speakers, and all of that, you know? And so in that awareness, then, I mean, when you look at it, Charles also, the story about Charles is that he, because of an accident, can't tell you specifics about it. It's been a while since I told the story, but he damaged his leg. One leg was longer than the other. And over time it grew. It grew. And not only that, but they, if you look at during those times, they doubled their life expectancy. And they also were vegan vegetarian, which is interesting. A lot of people that do talk about philosophy, theology of Unity kind of skip that part, which, you know, usually means because they aren't vegan vegetarian, but the Fillmores were, and that's still a part of the village and the people that go there throughout the world, and the cafe and the kind of choices that they have for people, because they believed in it very strongly. That was part of a, you know, a plant-based system, and those kind of things is what keeps people in a healthy way and creates a vibration of you being more whole and more well. And so when we look at health, it's very interesting, because there are a lot of people on the planet, they align to, oh, being spiritual. Oh, I'm so spiritual. Oh, I go to retreats, I meditate, I say my prayers, look at me, I'm so spiritual. But when it comes to the body, there's a whole distant relationship from that. There's a disconnect, and that hasn't been brought forth, that is together. And what I have learned is that if the body is honored, that things are supposed to be simple, but yet we're programmed that they can't be. Like menopause, for example, is supposed to be simple, but yet we're programmed to believe it can't be. And when it isn't, that means something's off intuitively with our connection with the body. Those are the kind of thoughts that come to my mind, like people that think, well, you're a certain age, so you get a tire around your belly. You're not supposed to, you know, and and yet people don't question it because they're told, well, that's natural, you're a certain age. Okay, so I've been on my bandwagon, so now back to you.
I believe that the same principles. There's a lot of, when it comes to personal vibration, actually my book, The Joy Matrix, is all about this concept of vibrational frequency and how do we increase our vibrational frequency. And, you know, oftentimes, I'm not against any type of eating, in general. I just want to, you know, affirm that. But when it comes to the vibration of food, it really is many of the living, whole food based, foods out there that have the most, or the highest of vibration. And so, one of the things that I teach to my intuitive development students is that when you're really working on the vibration of the human body, what consuming actually foods that are highest up in the trees and highest to the sun. That's oftentimes how vegetation and fruits and vegetables get or leaves get their highest vibration is through the sun. And so I find that when I'm either whether it be fasting or consuming fresh live juices or when I'm consuming, foundationally vegetarian foods, that oftentimes I will feel not only will my body start clearing out and I can actually feel the difference vibrationally. And a lot of my patients and students actually report back the same thing. But as our vibration increases in our body, intuitively our messages get clearer and more enhanced. And so that's one of the most interesting things. Usually when people are doing my full metaphysical wellness program is that, when we're working with aligning the physical body and the cells and the nervous system, that as we, as we start doing that, we can intuitively connect that much more clearly. And, some people, they don't, maybe they're a little bit open to the intuitive gift or they, maybe dabbled around with some of the metaphysical sciences, but they are often really, really surprised at how enhanced it does become. I'm so glad that you mentioned Unity and some of the principles of how, Unity was founded and what it was based on. I've always been mesmerized by Unity. I've always loved it so much. And I actually, right before I went to medical school, was that I looked at the minister training for Unity, and I looked at the chiropractic school training, and I almost went into the ministerial walk with Unity, and so but I chose chiropractic school just because I thought one day I could do both, and I knew I would do that training at some point in time the cellular sciences and stuff. And so, but yeah, it's such a great love and such a great appreciation for the Unity principles. I feel that as a society, we really are not taught the power that our mind and belief system has on our health, the status of our health, our vitality, and really like our longevity overall. There's so many, stories and so many, examples, certainly in my own life and many of the people that that I see and have seen just in general. It really is our core belief in what is possible for healing in our body. Because if we don't have that belief that we can heal, then most of the time we don't heal. And so I've seen it in many ways, both positive and negative. If a person comes to me, and I've known people also like this, just friends and family members, that once they get a diagnosis and once they've been given the diagnosis and the one medical professional that they've gone to, says that this treatment is correct or the only treatment that's going to potentially manage the symptoms, and then they're done. Well, then, if they're not able to step beyond that, then most of the time that's the best they can get. But it's the people that really say, "Hey, that's one area of expertise, and I'm grateful for their expertise. But let's see potentially what balancing the meridians can do, or the energy systems can do, or maximizing cell health can do, or meditation and setting the right intention, and calling in our angel guides and the power of the divine, let's see what that can do." Or, so many different areas. It's those people that commit to growing and learning and changing behaviors and really taking the power back for their health and their vitality and their life in general. Those are the people that get better. Or those are the people that actually find a way to align their physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual health. Those are the people that evolve and then ultimately are so happy about it, then go out and do awesome things with their lives, serving the universe. And so, that power of intention. There's a great doctor, there's a psychiatrist for many years ago. He just passed away. His name was John Diamond. And he had this awesome story. He has many, many different books out there and some of the muscle testing that I do and some of the energetic principles he mentioned in his book. And he was talking about this guy that was in the hospital. He had 10 days to live. All the doctors said, hey, listen, you're going to die in 10 days. And John Diamond walked in there, and he was doing some muscle testing stuff around belief systems. And he said, listen, if you hold the vision, he's like, listen, the only chance you really have here is if you believe yourself well. And the guy listened to him and said, hey, you know, I guess I can. That's, what else, you know, what other chance do I have? And in 10 days, he walked out of the hospital well, just because he believed he could. And there's thousands of stories like this. I'm sure you know immunity, you know, this power of intention and this personal belief that the body can get well. Because in the traditional medical system out there today, that's not what we're taught. And I've gone through, you know, many, many different scenarios and situations where I've been given diagnoses. And I've been given only one type of treatment. And thank goodness I knew enough biochemistry to realize that there were other ways of maximizing and aligning my cells so that certain areas of my health would work better and more efficiently. Because we're not taught that out there in society.
Isn't that the truth? I was telling someone the other day, you know, that I was reflecting about, you know, some of my life and the word intuition, and I was reflecting upon how in the early days I avoided doctors so much because my grandparents went all the time, and as a little girl, I get loaded up in their Ford Galaxy. We go carting to the doctor. It felt like we went every week. You know, who knows? I was real little, so it may not have been that much, but it felt like a lot. And then on the way home, the doctor said, you're going to feel this. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And I'm not for doctors. It's just that, to me, doctor is not my God. That's probably the easiest way to say it. And I remember, you know, years ago as a teenager of, oh, you need surgery because you have this. And I would listen and I go, no, I don't. Oh, and then, you know, we're in order for you not to have this, you're going to have surgery. And I think, no, I don't. That's not true for me at all. And it's just very, very interesting that listening part. And I've always lived by, now we won't elaborate on all the years I drank a lot. I don't know how well I listened then, but we won't talk about that part. We'll just talk about the 80% of my life. It's that listening and knowing that when you are committed to your body thriving, because if you are into spirituality and sacredness, then there must be that connected formula that your body is a sanctuary and you're as good as that. You know what I mean? And it's like a billboard. You know, it's like you can pretend to be prosperous. Oh, look at me, I'm so prosperous because I have a big purse or a thick wallet. You know, I can pretend that I'm happy in my relationship. You can't pretend the billboard of what your body says when people see it. And so it's like, it's the awareness of that, of how are we modeling. And so I've lived by, I ask what reveals itself three times. And that's a good path for my body to go, you know, of what is needed next, whether it's changing the food program, whether it's, you know, doing more of a workout or, you know, whatever it may be. But it's pretty magical, the genius of our physical being. And I know you're amazed all the time of the story after story after story that you tell of people that have been transformed.
An experience of awe that I have around the divine and how it expresses itself in our cells and our body. And so I think it's Abraham Hicks. Actually, it was interesting because in several areas of my book, I received intuitive downloads and even the idea for the book and creating it. And then it was interesting that later on I would find almost the exact same information in a lot of the teachings of Abraham Hicks. And so then and Abraham Hicks actually talks about the cell being the first incarnation of divine energy. And so I'm always amazed at how when people come to me or when people are on this path of healing and really committing to a higher vibration life, like how the divinity and divine energy, like how it flows through them and how it synergistically works together. And so, you know, just recently I had somebody come to me and she had gone to a cardiologist and her several primary care physicians and several hands doctors. And I'm an integrative doctor, I believe. I fully respect and love all areas of medicine. And so, and I often, if I feel I can't help somebody, then I'll often refer them out to somebody that does, whether that be Western medicine or alternative medicine. And so she was really scared because the next option was surgery for her, or it was either a higher dose of medication or surgery. And so, but what I loved about this person, she believed that she could get better. And she, everything I told her, every little incremental step, every little thing that I suggested, and she was so appreciative of all that I was teaching and all that I was showing her. And most importantly, she took action. And then part of the wellness program that I had designed, it also included meditation and, you know, certain types of yoga where you're really focusing on flowing the energy of the divine through the body and helping to balance the nervous system. Anyway, all the pieces, but most importantly, she believed that it could work. And so we ended up, and she's been on the program for maybe now 2 months or so. Been in that 2 months, she's lost 14 pounds, and she's dropped her blood pressure 40 to 45, points. And so it's that belief. But the most, she took action on that belief. And so it's that, how do we, what action can we take? Not all of us maybe are in a position where we can find a great professional to help us, but can we, listen to higher vibration, information, affirmations by Louise Hay or Abraham Hicks recordings or, your book. You have some great books, Temple, out there. I have them all. You're a phenomenal writer, and I've learned a lot from them.
Listen to you now. Well, we need to go to break. It happens so fast, but we're just delighted to have you, Dr. Debbie Roach. We're talking about your website, your work, your book, The Joy Matrix. We're talking at your website of vibrantyouwellness.com. And we'll be right back after this short break. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is exciting.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back to The Intentional Spirit with Reverend Temple Hayes.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in today. Always appreciative. I'm talking to Dr. Debbie Roach, and you can go to her website, vibrantyouwellness.com, and find out all about her work and what she does and how people are healed of inflammation, adrenal issues, thyroid. Many a person has come off of medication and things because their body no longer needs it. And just lots of different things like that. Of course, none of us are making any medical claims, but we do have tried and true stories of people that have had amazing miracles in their lives. And she also has an amazing book called The Joy Matrix. And do get to know her and follow her work. It felt so important to talk about health and the physical being, especially now in this current culture that we live, that so much is about being afraid and the immune system and the staying heightened alert with whether you are, concerned about COVID or a variant or all the various things. Not making light of any of it. I'm just saying it seemed timely to have some tools for you to work with. You have to learn how to balance. And If you are, at a place right now, you feel overly stressed and you're concerned, then you also can balance it by eating better. You can balance it by sleeping more. There's all kinds of things you can do. It's just hard when you give up all areas, and it really takes a jolt, takes a toll on your body. But anyway, Dr. Debbie, you are on a roll. You were going to talk about some fundamental things for health. And I wanted to have us go to break, but tell us, girl, get us going.
All right. This is my favorite area, or one of them. So our cells run on certain foundational principles. And for those of you that are interested in more information on what I'm about to talk about, I teach wellness classes at First Unity that are available by Zoom if you can't be there in person. And usually I'm covering a lot of these details in those classes. They're donation-based and all are welcome. So some of my favorite and most important cell principles I'd like to talk about today are fundamental wellness principles to keep our cells vibrant, healthy, and happy. And so I'm sure you've heard, some of them are very common, but there's kind of a precision to some of them. So I just want to maybe go over a few that I think are most overlooked in our culture and our society. And number one is hydration. The majority of people that I see out there in my practice and also just in general, most of us are severely dehydrated. And there have been many books out there written on how many conditions can actually be reversed from hydrating properly. And, I know that there are some great water systems out there like Neken and a few others, but I have found that the first and foremost thing we need to consider is our hydration, because when we get dehydrated, it actually increases the acidity level in our bodies. And so a lot, and also for our brains, our brain and our electrical system needs a proper amount of water. So number two is acid alkaline, the acid alkaline balance in our body. And so what happens when we're eating too many animal-based foods, whether it be dairy or meat or processed foods or even too many grains, is that our body becomes too acidic. And we can actually test this with alkaline strips, both urine and saliva, and the goal is to kind of be around 7.0, 7.2. And so this is really important because the more acid our body is, the less efficiently it works better. Our cells stick to each other. They can't deliver oxygen and nutrients, and they can't clear out toxins. And so there's some great books out on this topic. The pH Miracle is an awesome book by Dr. Robert Young. But this acid alkaline principle is super important. Actually, I did my thesis for my master's, my master's in nutrition on this concept. And so keeping our body in a more alkaline state is super important. And so that's where the vegetation comes in. Greens are awesome to keep our body more alkaline. You can get some green powders if you're kind of in a rush and don't have access to kind of fresh leafy greens. And that's probably my favorite principles, is the acid alkaline principle. The concept of inflammation in regards to our health is so, so important. It's one of those overlooked principles in traditional Western medicine type care. And there's a whole area of what's called epigenetics out there. And so what this basically says is that we all have certain genetic weaknesses. And usually the things that our parents or grandparents struggled with in their later years is often sometimes areas of our own genetic weaknesses. And so this concept, this epigenetic principle, basically states that if your inflammation is at a certain level, what happens is that the body will turn on the genetics for the weakened area. So let's say somebody has heart disease or joint issues or whatever, or rheumatoid arthritis. What happens is that when the inflammation gets to a certain level, then the gene will then genetically express the difficult health issue, whatever it might be. And so one of the areas that I most research and apply in almost every area of my wellness programs is that how do I help figure out where the inflammation is coming from, like which area of the body is imbalanced, and then how do I help the body rebalance that area so there's less inflammation. And so there are some foundational inflammation kind of wellness tools that I'd like to mention just a few. Number one is getting off sugar and gluten. Gluten is probably the worst dietary thing that we can consume. And genetically, it's very, very similar to dairy. So if people have an issue with gluten, they're most likely going to have an issue inflammatory-wise with dairy, too. And so getting off sugar, gluten, and dairy, especially if you have pain in your body or if you're having some type of condition that maybe no one can figure out, that would be my first and foremost thing I recommend. Also, juicing. Juicing can be one of the most useful, cost-efficient ways to decrease inflammation, properly hydrate the brain and body, and also to help get an influx of awesome nutrients. And so what happens when people juice is that they become less hungry. Another area that really drives inflammation is too much sugar in the body. So when people start decreasing their carb content or their caloric intake, that can also greatly decrease inflammation. Another area that it impacts the entire body, but most importantly our inflammation levels, is our stress systems and our nervous system. And those two areas, our stress and nervous systems, impact our adrenal HPA axis. And so I know there's kind of maybe some new terms, but the gist of it is that if we've gone through a lot in our lives, especially if we've gone through trauma, or maybe we've just gone through some really hard things where we've been stressed for a really long time, or maybe we've done so many things in our lives on so many levels that maybe we're just really tired or our nervous system is really tired, what happens is that our brain and our nervous system starts adapting for this overstressed state, so that little things activate a very strong stress and fight or flight response. And so part of my healing approach and part of the things that I recommend to people is to be very, very conscientious of what your body is doing stress-wise and to implement ways of managing the stress. And so what I often recommend in different ways is breath work. Certainly chiropractic and acupuncture can be a great, great way of managing and reversing damage on the nervous system. Because what happens is that once we're in that kind of pre-programmed state, that our body will then be stressed all the time, and we might not even realize it. And what happens is when we're in that state and we haven't taken the time, or maybe we don't know how yet, to unwind it, is that our body then pumps out too much cortisol and then exhausts our adrenal gland systems and our HPA axis. And so, and then that increases our inflammation very much so. And so I always remind people, especially when they're working with me or when we're starting on a wellness program, is to be very aware of how their body, their brain, and their emotions are managing stress. And so maybe people, some helpful tools that I've recommended to people that I've seen work is meditating for 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, or incorporating maybe 10 to 15 minutes of breath work where they're placing their hands on their belly and they're really belly breathing into that breath work. I know some of us think in a stressed way. So sometimes learning how to clear the mind and incorporating more meditative type mental imagery can be very helpful, because some people are just so programmed for stress, they just stress themselves all day. And so those are probably, and also some people have very sensitive brains. I'm one of these people. And so some people have an imbalanced stress signaling pattern in their brain signaling. And so there's a couple things that I do on an everyday basis that greatly help my brain stay more balanced. And one of them is to diffuse essential oil, or I'll put it on my clothing. And that's very helpful in keeping the frontal area of my brain more active, which helps regulate the stress response of the brain. Also, I will do a couple of balancing postures during my exercise routine. And I'm not real good at yoga. I'm not very balanced in general, but I force myself to practice. And so I usually do some type of one-legged stance where I'm moving my arms in different ways on both sides of my body. Like my goal is maybe like 30 seconds or a minute per side. And then what that does is that helps regulate my brain, so it decreases the overall stress response. And those are probably and eating enough omega-3 fatty acids. Most people, when I'm muscle testing them with the frequency vials or in the different ways that I muscle test, are often very deficient in omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D and vitamin A. And so,
can you, and also, Dr. Mm-hmm. Debbie, because you live in this sure. all the time, and it's yes. so secondary to your nature. It's like me talking about chakras and soul retrieval, you know, mm-hmm. no big deal. But that being, I mean, you know, we live in the language of that, but elaborate on that a little bit about some practical things that people can do about sure. the omega fats and things like that and the, yes. and the vitamins and yes. stuff. Could you kind of help us out for everyday lay people?
Sure. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Okay. So, potassium. So I'll start with potassium and I'll mention a few of the things. So actually we'll start with omega 3 fats because I mentioned them. So there are certain, there are a couple things that are really good for omega 3 fats. One is omega 3 fats are fats that are an unsaturated fat that help our cell membranes be strong. And so when we eat omega-3 fats versus kind of junk fats, like the kind of fats you find in chips or oils, it can make our cells weak. Or when we eat the right fats, it makes our cells strong. So for omega-3 fats, flax seed, chia seed, like I usually grind them up and put them on salad and stuff. Hemp seed, these are hemp hearts. You can get them at Trader Joe's or whatever. Hemp is very good for omega-3s. For people that eat salmon, salmon can be, especially if it's wild-caught, healthy salmon, organic salmon, that can be helpful. That's kind of my favorite areas for the, or barrage oil, flax oil can be helpful. For those of you that are more vegetarian-based, I always recommend for people that do eat meat, certain molecularly distilled omega-3 oils, so fish oil. Those would be my recommendations for fat. When it comes, most people are deficient in potassium. And so potassium is one of those minerals. The optimal goal is 4,500 milligrams a day. And so potassium is going to come from a lot of our green foods. And people always think bananas have a lot of potassium. And they only have 300 milligrams per banana. And so,
that is funny. You're right. As soon as you say potassium, yeah. people say banana. But that's yes. one of the least. Is a sweet potato potassium?
I'm sorry?
Sweet potatoes?
Sweet potato. Let's see. I have actually a list of the potatoes, or I'm sorry, a list of potassium in my book. And so I'm glancing at it right now. But some of the best ones are going to be beet tops. Beet tops have 1,100 milligrams per cup. And so it's one of those, one of those things that you think, oh, well, that's not really going to be that big of a deal. But beet tops, I usually saute them in butter. They have some, that usually is really good in high in potassium. And so I'm actually glancing. Here we go. Avocado, it has almost 1,000 milligrams per fruit. So potatoes, wow. regular potatoes, a sweet potato has 850 milligrams per one large sweet potato. Spinach is very high. Salmon is pretty high. A romaine lettuce, 1,500 milligrams per head. So if you're kind of strategic and some of the foods that you're eating, squash is very high. Spinach is high. Brussels sprouts is 500 milligrams. I always loved Brussels sprouts as a kid. There are certain foods that are higher in potassium. And so Potassium is super important for every single cell in our body, for our nervous system, and many, many things. So increasing our potassium intake would be one of the most like helpful dietary things I can recommend. I get a lot of questions about the difference between blending, like smoothies, and juicing. And I feel that there's benefit to both of them. And it really it depends on the health goals that people are wanting to do or wanting to get to. And so I do both. Sometimes I'll do a quart of juice, and then I'll do a green smoothie, and then a small meal, at some point throughout the day. And let's see what else. I do the balancing. I've seen some really, really good impact stress-wise with just incorporating those few balancing-type moves in terms of stress. Also, walking and slightly stretching your tendons and your arms, like exaggerating your movements a little bit to stretch the tendons in the top of your on the top of your arms and the top of the legs. That helps balance the brain. Let's see what else. Anything else that Reverend Temple that you'd like me to elaborate on?
No, I just think it's so much. You know, I'm finding with people if they've got the answers right in front of them, they're more apt to pursue it. You know,
that's true. Yes, absolutely. And I'm all about baby steps, and it's those baby steps that once we commit to those baby steps, let's say people are not ready to let go of all the bad foods or to, you know, start on a full wellness program of some kind to align their cells and their physical body. I'm a big believer in, and you just start where you are. So if people aren't ready to let go of their candy bar that they have every day, then, you know, can they commit to drinking enough water for the day, or, you know, eating, you know, three vegetables that day, or wherever it is that they can start with and then build momentum. That's where I've seen the greatest changes occur, is because some people are just not ready, because we're, you know, as a culture, and many, many people are very much emotionally attached to their food or their treats. And so part of the process is learning to let go and then replacing it with healthier things. Because what I have found is that when our vibration starts increasing based upon our choices and our food choices and wellness choices, is that we are much, as our vibrational frequency increases, then we'll keep reaching for the healthier things as we gain vibrational momentum. But if we're not able to shift that vibrational state, then we just kind of stay where we're at. We just keep, we'll reach for lower vibration tools and activities. And so part of making that shift is, you know, figuring out what level of willingness we're at. And then what action are we willing to take? And it really it comes down to that. Because I know you mentioned about flowing the divine through the body and the connection to the body, and how many people do have some imbalances in that area. And what I have found is that the more that people are willing to increase their vibrational frequency in whatever direction that they're willing to take. And that's what the Joy Matrix is all about. It's based in this concept of vibrational frequency and wellness tools to ultimately increase the vibration. And so when people are stuck and they don't know how to make the shift, or how they can either connect more fully to their physical body, but most importantly, how to align it better so that they can flow that divine energy through it more efficiently, what are the tools? And that really is what the book is about, because it really is written as a reference manual. At any point, you can open the book up and find a tool and why it works and how it works. And so that really is the concept of what the book is about. And the book really is my healing program that I personally use to pull myself out of some really difficult places in many ways. And so I really wanted to create something that could be really useful, and that was written in a really real way. And I wanted to be of value for anybody that picked it up. And so that was the goal of me creating that book.
Amazing. Amazing work. And it, And to create a greenhouse for people, you know, my, you know, Barbara's in wellness, and once the greenhouse is established for somebody, it's so beautiful to watch the pieces come together. And I do think that often, and just people that have spoken to me through the years, I don't mean it as, you know, judgmental or self-righteous, but just stating facts of what people have told me, that, you know, I have come to realize in my life that often if something isn't coming together, because I know the laws are always working, there's often this one piece that hadn't come together yet. And like, when I'm not really listening to my own intuitive or making changes or doing things that I know are right around the corner for me to do, like to me, weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, has always been reflective of weight, W-A-I-T. And I've found that to be true. And once I get rid of, clear my consciousness about what I'm waiting on, the natural physical weight, you know, as I just proved to you recently, happens. just happens.
Yes.
But I think that's a part that, you know, a lot of times people will say, and I think this is my point, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, when my job settles down, I'm going to work on my body. When, you know, when my relationship's better, I'm going to work on my body. When, you know, when I get a raise, I'm going to work on my body, blah, 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 blah. And it's this future thing. But if people would understand, when I work on my body, when I accept my body and I do what needs to be done and how it needs to be done, the other things fall in place. I've seen that time and time and time again. And that's why it was so important to us to offer three different shows of these segments for you to find different pieces that would help you and carry you forth. And, you know, like Dr. Debbie was saying, we're not anticipating you're going to do every little thing and start tomorrow. Please don't, you know, because you'll be a great idea that will never move forward, because it will be overwhelming. But our knowing is that through the next 3 weeks, that you will pick and choose. Some of the things are going to speak to you and you're going to go, well, I could do that. And that's the way I find, and I think that's what you continue to say, is those baby steps. Anybody can put a little bit of potassium in their diet starting tomorrow. And then the next week you could, you know, add one more thing. And it's not hard. It's people's decision that it has to be hard that makes it so. But it's, I just know the people I've seen, like the before and after, including me, and it's pretty exciting to see how easy it can be accomplished over time.
Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm so proud of you and all the hard work you put into your health this last year. And I have been very inspired by your commitment and your results. So know your example has blessed us all in many ways.
Oh, thank you. Can't touch this. Na 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 na. Well, you know, I think that, you know, and that's what I ask people to reflect upon is, you know, what is your vision of yourself? What's your mission? And years ago, because I heard people talking about, well, I'm 40 now, or I'm 50 now, or look at me and what they say and blah, blah, blah. And I went, you know, that's not the window. You know, that was the way it was for me in alcoholism too. It's like, oh, you're going to suffer and you're going to constantly think about it. And I'm like, I'm not doing hard. This is going to work easy. I'm going to make sure. And it has. And that's the same way with aging. It's like, I have this vision that people are going to say, how do you stay so young? And, you know, what do you do? And that's the place I live in, is that, not, oh my gosh, look at me, another year, another day, another wah, wah, wah. But anyway, it's been a pleasure to have you today, Dr. Debbie. I want to thank all of you. Join me at templehayes.com, firstunity.org. We have all kind of messages about a great life, and I like to always give Jeff a hand too, because he's the one that makes all these buttons and everything work so seamlessly. And we're just grateful that you're here, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Debbie. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'm Rachel Corpus, an angel communicator, psychic medium, and host of the Angel Talk podcast. This show is meant to help you remember who you are, a limitless being with shoes and socks on. And along the way, we'll connect to people on the other side and experts in the field like authors, healers, animal communicators, and more. Listen to all my shows at Mind, Body, Spirit FM or wherever you get your podcasts.